kind of end of summer feeling day. I'm like, fall is not coming, but it feels like it is. Anyway, I had the good fortune of interviewing my friend Rachel Alaya, who I've known for a long time, the other night. We mostly talked about nervous systems in motherhood. To cut it short, really, that's like the gist of the whole thing. But there's a lot to cover in that topic. And so I'm going to just let you listen and enjoy. It's about an hour. So, you know, cozy up or hit the road, whatever you're up to. Thank you for listening. I'm going to read a little bit about Rachel before the recording starts. Rachel has over a decade of creating and facilitating transformative learning experiences in a variety of different forms. Rachel is passionate about holding spaces that are holistic, authentic, transformational, and honor the full spectrum nuance of what it means to be human. Spaces that honor all complex parts of you and your experience. Spaces that simultaneously meet you wherever you are and also inspire you to shed your too tight skins, trust in God's plan, and leap into your highest self-expression. Rachel is a devoted wife and boy mother, an earth mama, healer, plant medicine maker, trained educator and facilitator, a conscious leadership coach, a trauma-informed somatic guide, a multidisciplinary artist and writer, and a daughter of God. She says on her website, I just love this little piece, "I am honored to mentor, support, steward, teach, and companion mamas and creative women on a mission to heal their legacy, mother of revolution / evolution, and midwife a paradigm shift through bespoke private coaching, somatic education, spiritual guidance, shadow work, nervous system nourishment, movement classes, and community containers." Okay, without further ado, here's our fun little interview from the other evening. I hope you enjoy. Let me know what you think. Thanks for stopping by. Okay, we're live. All right. Hello, hello. Welcome. Welcome. I have a guest coming on with me tonight. I'm so excited about this. If you guys are just joining, I'm trying out headphones and just want to make sure you guys can hear me. So if anyone wants to throw that into a comment, it would be much appreciated. And my good friend Rachel Alaya is going to be joining me. Here we go. Fantastic. She's ready. The question is, there we go. Okay. That was a little weird. That was a little wonky. Hi. Hi, Jamie. Awesome. Hello.
Yay.
Oh, this is so exciting. Oh my goodness, it's really happening. All right.
I'm ready.
You're ready. You look ready. Sweet. Okay, this is a really exciting, it's an exciting moment. I have been like constantly the broken record of, I'm going to do a new show, I think. One of these days I'm going to get around to it. And I wrote your name down like a couple weeks ago when I was brainstorming people I would love to have on. And of course, we got to connect the last week or so and make this all happen. And so this is very exciting. Thank you for joining me.
Yeah, Thank you for inviting me. Hot and sweaty in my little tiny home. And
yep,
it's humid AF, but we're mamas, we make it work, we're flexible, we're
adaptable.
I just love you, and I'm just so excited that we could do this together.
Yay, I feel the same, and I love I just love it. I like, yes, we are mamas. We make it happen. I started dinner like 3 hours earlier than I did yesterday to make this happen. My kids are off in their like fun tent land. They've got a whole outdoor summer setup over here.
I love it.
Anyway, and so a lot of you, well, I guess there'll be people joining from both our channels, but I'm in Maine. If you don't know, my name's Camille, and I have known Rachel for a while. Like, it's been a while. We've never met in person. I know.
We've come close.
It's so close. But we've been internet friends for a long time, like getting close to maybe even a decade or something. It's totally possible. So
yeah, the better and part of 10 years.
Really? Yeah, totally. So yeah, and I just wanted to pick your brain, talk about being mamas. The last time we did an interview, you were like, you had a newborn, like a real freshie, like it was a tiny little babe. Yeah. And he had to come and get, you know, Nana time during the interview. And so I just love that we're like talking about mamahood tonight and how appropriate and perfect. And yeah, I'm just like, let's do this.
Do it.
So will you share a little bit about like where you are in the world, what you're up to kind of, and then we can like hop into some other things.
Sure.
Yeah.
So I live in a really small town about an hour south of Puerto Vallarta, Mexico, in the mountains. So we're about 30 minutes from the coast, and we're at about 1200 feet elevation here. We, about, goodness, a year and a half ago, expanded our rancho, so our land here, quite significantly. So we have a big vision for this place, my family and I. And when I first met my husband, it was around the time that I met you, actually. And
oh, wow.
Yeah. It was probably within the same month, I want to say. And I remember like inviting him over for dinner one of those first like months that we were together. And I asked him, you know, I was like, what is your vision for your life? What do you imagine for yourself? What are you calling in? No pressure, right? And he was like, well, and at the time we were living in the city, I lived in an apartment, like our lifestyles were very different. He was teaching scuba and I had just started my online business. And he said, well, I always imagined myself living with land, kind of like off the grid, and starting a school for kids. And, you know, my background is in environmental education for kids. So that's always been my vision for my life. So I was like, oh, well, I was like, of course, that would be, you know, even my phone agrees. Of course, that would be like, I'm in, let's do this. So slowly but surely, little by little, over the years, we like made slow progress in that direction. And you know, to make a really long story short, we now live off grid with 50 acres in the mountains, and we have a big building here on the property that we're in the very slow process of renovating and creating a community education center and like an outdoor learning experience for all ages. And we have two little ones who are 5.5 and 1.5. And what else? I have been working in online space, working with women for the last 8 years, and much longer doing you know, the healing arts and working in that sphere. But I started as Wild Soul Wellness, which is when I met Camille. And, you know, over the years have kind of like expanded, contracted as I've become a mother. You know, like grown into myself, as we all do. There's this in breath, out breath. And so I've stepped away from the online space, and I've come back, and I've stepped away, and I've come back, and I've really like solidified, I think, in myself, and have a lot of wisdom and you know, experience to share in terms of what it means to be a mama and be a paradigm shifter, and you know, by necessity, the conversation around nervous system nourishment really is something that I have had to big time prioritize in my life. And so I know the value of it because I live it. I know the power of it because I live it on a daily basis. And yeah, I really feel like that's such a deep and central part of why I'm here.
I love that. Love that. It's interesting right now. I feel like as mothers, I'm trying to figure out how do I say this. I'm like in a backwards way of saying it. Like it's the ante's been upped basically the last couple of years as moms, and I feel like for me, I take, you know, motherhood a little bit of a different tonality than I did before 2020, when, you know, kind of the whole world shifted altogether, and it is shifting collectively. And there's a new sort of, I guess it's not newer, but it's like a more profound, like it's been brought up to the top levels of priorities of like leaving like, you know, an impact for my kids, and not just my kids, but like every mother and every child, you know what I mean? Like every child, every parent we're talking mostly about mothers right now, but like just every parent, but also really kind of taking a shift in our own journey to recognize how incredibly important that is for right now. In you know, I catch myself going through these more like frantic moments, and actually in the last that's like my former mothering experience, I would say in the last couple of years I've actually been like the parenting, the mothering that I do is what feels more grounding than just about anything else, you know. So that's been a big shift for myself personally, and so I really resonate with what you've been, you know, talking about, bringing this whole nervous system thing to the surface for discussion, because we can't like break cycles, you know, we can't be like a generational like cycle breaker, I guess, when our nervous system is fried. And so that is definitely, you know, like one thing I want to touch in with you is and it could be a long-winded answer, but you in summary or something, like how did you come to find through your own experience that, you know, healing the nervous system is this important?
Yeah.
And especially right now, perhaps, you know.
Yeah. Okay. Like we take a deep breath together as we open that can of worms.
Right.
So the world kind of was flown into a tailspin these last few years. But even prior to that, a couple years prior to that, I myself was thrown into quite a tailspin, because when I became a mother, I suddenly was thrust into an experience that started to reveal a lot of my own unresolved issues. And I got to know parts of myself that I didn't know existed, meaning I didn't recognize myself anymore in many ways. And I had already been on like a healing journey, you know, psychologically and spiritually and emotionally for several years, you know, and I was already like working with people in this regard. And so it was very humbling to suddenly basically be diagnosed with complex PTSD and realize that, you know, I have to get my together in order mm-hmm. to be a halfway decent mother. And, mm-hmm. you know, talking about cycle breaking, integrity is of my highest value and principle, and the way that I live is by principle. And the people that I hold near and dear to me do as well. And so in order for me to hold myself in integrity and be able to show up every day and do the work of mothering, I had to do something, you know, I had to shift something. I had to figure something out. And I can remember when I first met my husband, he revealed to me like a really traumatic experience that he had as a child. And I can remember just like being almost like a deer in headlights when he told me, thinking to myself, mm-hmm. somebody experienced trauma like that as a child and come out at the other side, not only like okay, but like almost like more resilient.
Mm-hmm.
And I can remember even in that moment being very intrigued by what that process might look like and what trauma even was about, what trauma resolution was about. And in the last several years, we've seen it become kind of this like hot button topic and nervous system nourishment, really mm-hmm. this like almost like trendy thing, right? And I think, you know, on the one hand, it's like it can be maybe overkill and maybe it's like a clickbaity title, you know, mm-hmm. but it's really exciting for me to see because people are waking up and recognizing, oh, like I've got some stuff I need to work through. And in order to stop the perpetuation of certain patterns in my family, in our communities, in the collective, like we each individually have to do the work of, you know, resolving these unresolved patterns that live when we pull the thread and we trace it back within the body. And so when I became a mother and I had already had this kind of, you know, deep intrigue or interest in trauma resolution, I mm-hmm. started to read whatever I could about complex trauma. And I had a moment where I thought to myself, you know, could this be me? Like what I'm reading sounds like what I'm moving through. And it sounds like what's going on for me. And so I can remember like talking to, close family and like starting to kind of parse this out and realizing like, okay, yes, there's something here, you know, mm-hmm. I started working with a somatic therapist and I started to like develop a discipline and a devotion to my healing journey. And it was really hard and it continues to be like, there's a certain level of endurance that you have to have when you start to do this work, you know, and it's not easy and it's quite uncomfortable actually. And a lot of the work is being able to sit with the discomfort that arises in the body, right? And so the last several years have really just been me like doing the work over and over every single day and mm-hmm. remembering that like secure attachment isn't being perfect. it's not doing the right thing all the time. It's not being attached and responsive in every single moment in a perfect way. And so this is like another sort of, I don't know, like story that we're rewriting as mothers, where we're realizing like, oh, I don't actually have to be the perfect mother. I can be the mother that shows up in her humanness and says, goodness, like I really screwed up there, didn't I? And actually going to our children and doing the hard work of repair, because repair and regeneration, those are our strong points as women and as mothers. And so realizing that this is something that is inherent in what we are capable of doing gives us the opportunity to do this work and to do it with grace, extending ourselves the deepest, like warm embrace that says, I'm here and I'm here to reconnect. I'm here to connect with myself, with my children, with my parents, with the land, with spirit, and find a sense of meaning and purpose. And yeah, I think grace is just the word that keeps coming up over and over again around this process, you know, and the mothers that I connect with, you know, like that's the other thing about the physiology of a female body, is that we find safeness and we heal in connection, in community, in relationship, much more so than our male counterparts, you know? And so it's important for us as women and as mothers to have the relationships in our lives that we can attune to be seen and to be heard and to experience connection, so that those ruptures can be renegotiated and repaired for us. So yeah, that's in a nutshell, I guess.
Oh, I love it. I love it. I love what you were just saying a moment ago about, you know, kind of having accountability, coming to your child and be like, I try myself to not ever parent in an authoritative way. And there's this great book, if anyone ever wants to dive deeper on the greatest superstition or something along those lines. If you want to know what it is, message me. I'll go take a picture of the book. But it's the most dangerous superstition, and it's the belief in authority. And I think that so much of society has gone wrong in this way of like putting so much into authoritative figures, and that includes the mother-child relationship. I mean, it goes so far beyond that with teacher, doctor, you know, politician, whatever, right? But really, it starts in that mother-child relationship. And I remember mothering my first child being like, I have no idea what I'm doing. And people would be like, wow, your child's so quiet. And I was like, because I'm not trying to push, you know, outside. I tried to like come to it with like a no slate thing, right? A totally clean slate. And a lot of that was catching myself in the moment and kind of unlearning something in the moment of seeing like, well, that didn't really pan out very well for me. My child kind of like freaked out when I tried to like direct him what to do. And so maybe I need to try a different thing and like, you know, empower together kind of thing. And so I love what you said about just like being human ourselves and letting our kids see us as human and as not perfect and as not some sort of do what I say because I am the one to say it. because we can be wrong. And I think that that is something, you know, mothers could use more of, maybe that lesson. It's like, it's okay. And we can totally be wrong. And then come to, you know, the family unit or come to the child and say like, hey, there's this thing that happened the other day or earlier today or just now or whatever it is. And kind of offer that as like, and I can do better on this, you know. In our house, we don't do apologies in the way of like, I'm sorry and back and forth and blah, blah, blah. We, for whatever reason, Samantha and I, my partner, who we co-parent together, we just like realized a few years ago, we didn't like it. I'm very much into words, and you know, the word sorry is coming from the word sorrow, which is like about grief. And so the more we say these things like, I'm sorry, we're actually like inserting unnecessary grief into things. And so we always kind of encourage taking accountability and how would you do this differently? Or, you know, an example kind of like that. Yeah. So I guess, what would you say to mothers who, I don't know, maybe are struggling with that, like being seen as human and being able to kind of humble ourselves to be, you know, more accountable for our own actions, our own, you know, healing journey.
Yeah.
I know that the healing journey can be really, really intense and difficult, and I've been healing alongside mothering for years, you know. So what, yeah, I guess what can you offer, you know, us all, because I think it's like everybody has like a mother relationship in their life, whether or not they're a mother, right?
We all came from a mother.
Yep.
So we have a relationship with mother, and we all have Mother Earth as the ground that we walk upon that supports mm-hmm. this life. So I love what you brought it back to around unlearning, because a lot of this is unlearning. A lot of this is catching ourselves in patterns where, you know, as I mentioned before, it was like when I first became a mother and I was seeing these parts of myself, I was like, who is this person? Like, this is not even the person that I want to be showing up as, you know? So recognizing the unlearning is a huge part of it, and the course correcting too. It's like, if you are a mother, you know how many times you have to repeat yourself throughout a day, you know, to, you know, share information or guide your children's lives in a conscious way. And it's kind of the same with ourselves and our own like inner little girls. You know? In many ways, we're like, I mean, I kind of go back and forth around like the whole concept of reparenting ourselves, but in many ways, that's kind of what it's about, is we're filling in the ways that our own parents, as humans, as fallible human beings who inevitably miss the mark, you know, mm-hmm. although they did their best, there was things that they were not capable of doing for us. And something that really struck me recently that let me see if I can remember where it came from. It was a friend of mine who is a former midwife, and she was actually in one of my programs a few years ago, the Mystic Wolf Women, the program I did around women who run with the wolves. And mm-hmm. she's a wise woman, like elder to me, that I consider to be in my community. And she was reminding me that when we become mothers, you know, we kind of liberate our own mothers from their position of being our mothers anymore. And I was like really taken aback by that, because I had an experience recently with my own mother where I realized that I had to kind of do that. I had to kind of like let her be human and let her have her foibles and let her, like, you know, let her off the hook in many ways, because there was still a part of me that was like waiting for her to somehow step up and fill the needs that I had unmet as a child. And like, how unfair that was for both of us to continue to have that expectation like hovering around us. Mm-hmm. So like, how do I meet those needs then? Well, having a relationship with the land is so valuable and important. Like having that as a co-regulating space, having a relationship with the land, the place where you live, is so incredibly regulating to the nervous system on so many different levels. And so if we can like tap into that like macrocosmic mother in many ways, like we can start to remove our own hang-ups around our mother and start to develop a relationship with the great mother, our earth. And then in the same way, you know, having that for me with the father, it's like, okay, I'm recognizing too that I can also resource then with spirit, with source in a different way. So I don't have to like ground my identity in a world that's constantly changing and constantly different, and my emotions that are constantly different, or the, you know, the people or the things around me that are, you know, their nature has changed. And so where can I tap into the part of me and the part of our universal existence that's unchanging, that's never changing, that's always persisting and never dying? And so it's simultaneously like this opening and accepting of our humanness and this deepening into our like divine spark in many ways. And so what I feel like is kind of this unique frame that I take around the nervous system work that I do, is I don't divorce the science of the nervous system and polyvagal theory and all of this stuff from spirituality and from our relationship with the earth, because it's all very connected. And so those are kind of like the foundational pieces in many ways of like learning to have a deep connection with the land and, you know, living as a woman with infradian rhythms that are, you know, about 28 days monthly, that a lot of women can track with the moon cycles. But beyond that, it's like we recognize that we are innately connected to this great earth, and remembering our place in that great web of life is so vital and important, just as it is in remembering our place as, I would like to say, as a child of God, you know, as a divine being, mm-hmm. You know, as both. So you stand with your feet in two worlds, right? Mm-hmm. In so far as I've already mentioned the piece around community and relationships with women, like I have found that mamas need other mamas. We need mm-hmm. other mamas to connect with, and not necessarily to like come together and commiserate about how hard it is, because yes, it's hard. Absolutely. I think we can all agree to that. But my task that I have been called into is, how can we hold the truth that is, yes, mothering is difficult, life can be quite difficult, but it is simultaneously incredibly beautiful and so fulfilling and rewarding and just miraculous, really. And the beauty that comes when we allow ourselves to give ourselves over to the moment and the tasks at hand and live with true devotion to the work that we've been called to do. Because we can move through our day with bitterness and resentment and a sense of like, ugh, I have to do this thing, or, you know, whatever the story might be. And that's going to affect every single part of our lives, the way that we perceive things, right? Mm-hmm. But open ourselves up to the beauty that exists, right? And I'm going to make this really super practical, like in the body too, because this is the work that I do with women all the time. Mm-hmm. I do one-on-one and in groups. And it's like, when we're triggered, if we can trace that back, it's coming from an uncomfortable sensation in the body that we cannot hold in that moment. So we do whatever it is to either project it out of us or stuff it down, right? Dissociate mm-hmm. from it or throw it on somebody else. And yet there's a space between that sensation coming up in our body and the way that we respond to it, where we have the power of our free will that has been granted to us. But most of humanity move through life asleep. So they don't even recognize that space between the sensation and the response or the reaction. And so the work in many ways is to know thyself to such a degree that you actually are so familiar with the inner terrain of your own felt experience that you can sense when you're becoming triggered, because you can feel that happening in your body. And it's not about whatever mental loops are going on, because those are going to happen. But if you can trace those mental loops back to a sensation in the body, you can start to grow your capacity to just be with that sensation. And that's really hard work. It's really hard work, because why? The mind is going to tell you that feeling that feeling is like death. Like, I am going to die if I feel this. Like, that mm-hmm. is what the mind has convinced us. Mm-hmm. So all of the sort of like mind-body practices that are offered, like, I don't even necessarily in my programs and in working with people, I don't say like, okay, here's a set of tools. Although I offer them, these are going to save you. Like, there's so many different tools that we can use at our disposal, but it's the relationship that we have with the tool and how we approach this work that is so vital and so important. Because if we're going about this work as a way of subtly manipulating ourselves into submission, like, okay, I need to regulate my nervous system, so I'm going to be calm as possible. But like, meanwhile, under the surface, you're like, you know, like
tweaking.
I mean, your kids are gonna pick up on that, you know. Mm-hmm. The service and be like, what is going on? Like, and they're gonna learn they have to suppress what they're actually feeling, because it's mm-hmm. feel that way. It's not okay to express certain things. It's not okay to like be authentic and real, you mm-hmm. know. So we have to get real with ourselves. And like, you know, goodness, I'm getting like a memory of, because I'll have a look on my face and he's like, are you having a hard time, mom? And I'm like, yeah, I'm having a hard time right now. Like, and that's okay. You know, I still love you so much. And he mm-hmm. like, you know, in those moments of repair, I go back to him and I'm like, oh, I'm so sorry that I yelled at you. Like, I should have done something better at that moment. And he turns to me and says, yeah, but you love me, mama. And I'm like, yeah, you know.
Yeah. That's really funny. My
holding that capacity, right? And being able to like be with our own sensations and stay connected to that. That's like where the deep work lies. And so many different practices, from like mindfulness to breath work to, you know, like so many, a plethora, so much. But really it's about, how do I grow my capacity to be with more sensation so I can show up as fully capable as I can, trusting the sensations in my body to give me accurate information? Because if we're hyper focused on just one thing, we don't even have the full capacity of our whole agency available to us. I was speaking with a client of mine this morning, where we did a practice that's from somatic experiencing called pendulation, which, is, you know, if you're in it, you know, and in this case, it was someone who is having a lot of anxiety and feeling a lot of tension and like the weight of the world on her shoulders. And so I invited her to find a place in her body that felt neutral, where she didn't feel super uncomfortable. And I let her like soften and rest in that space, kind of as a resource. And then we pendulated back to, okay, now feel the heaviness and the weightedness, and allow yourself to have a taste of that, and then go back to the neutral space. Did that several times. And then afterwards she reflected, it's interesting because every time we went back to the discomfort, it was different and it was less. You know, and every time we went back to the neutral place, I realized that I had more sensation available to me that I wasn't aware of previously. And so we have these like really simple things that are at our disposal in many ways. And sometimes this work can feel like I'm not even really doing much, you know, or I feel like I'm not doing a lot. But on a subtle level, there's so much work going on. So yes. I interrupted you. You were about to say something. Sorry.
No, you were just finishing that thought. But I was just going to say that my kiddos totally know. I could be like trying to fake it. You know what I mean? And like they totally... My oldest, he's 11. He'll just come over. He'll just put his little arm around me and he'll just like lay his head on me. And that's it. He feels like heart. He'll like usually even sometimes not say something, or like, you know, he just gives me a hug and then he goes back to doing what he was doing. It's like, wow. They're very tapped into how we're doing and how we are feeling. And I get, wow, so many things to touch on from that last bit, but I just want to we don't have a ton of time left. We have like 20 minutes left, maybe a little less because it'll cut us off at an hour, but I want to talk about your nurture program that you're coming out with right now. And real quick before that, or maybe if you feel inspired to segue, if it segues into it, we touched on like trauma, and I love your term trauma resolution. And it's been a big topic for me in the last few years. And I've had a lot of stuff to work through and a lot of stuff to figure out in my, you know, central nervous system, and also a CPTSD diagnosis. And I feel, can you speak to like moms that are also kind of going through that? I think we're all experiencing either a low level trauma or like even maybe a higher level in our lives. Yeah. And how do we even get started and just like that?
Yeah, great question. When we think about trauma, often we think about it like a big T trauma, they say, you know, which is big thing happened to me, like sort of the story that I was mentioning about my husband, you know, that big event that happened to me. And that absolutely is, you know, on the continuum of this conversation. But also in the sphere of little t trauma, we're talking about essentially about unmet needs that were not filled when we were developmentally not in a space to, you know, be resourced enough to meet those needs. Mm-hmm. And that's like developmental trauma, we might say. And many of us have parents who, you know, maybe both of them had jobs and they weren't even really available or around, or one of them or both of them had mental health issues, or you had like constant conflicts with siblings, or, you know, there was economic and financial unrest and instability in your home. Or you lived in an area of the world where there was, you know, war or violence. There is so many different ways that overwhelm and overwhelming experiences can affect us as human beings. And then also just, you know, in our day-to-day lives, like the experience of being overwhelmed. You know, I go back to the teachings of Dr. Dan Siegel, who's written quite a few parenting books. And he's the one who...
So funny. I just found an image of a quote last night from him. I think it's the only one I have.
Really?
It was wild. Okay.
Would you remember what the quote was?
Yes, it was something about how so often we forget that discipline is not about punishment, but a disciple is a student. Mm-hmm. And then it relates to children. I can't remember the rest of the quote, but it's something along those lines.
Right. Love that quote. I remember reading it. Mm-hmm. Too, and like something about how like to discipline is really to like instill it,
to teach,
you know.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I just love that. You know, I'm a word nerd too, so like discipline, disciple, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So Siegel coined the term the window of tolerance when it comes to understanding our nervous system's stress response. So if we can imagine that we have kind of like this window of experience where our nervous system kind of is able to like get stressed out or be activated or, you know, like respond to the day-to-day vicissitudes of our lives and like settle itself in a way that we can return to social engagement, we can return to connection, we can return to a state where our nervous system is not either like on hypervigilance and activated, or like dissociated and numbed out and like resigned to, you know, the freeze response. But given like the overculture that we are being, you know, like slowly, you know, pressed down upon us, and the waters that we swim in collectively every day, many of us are dealing with a level of stress that is so high that our window of tolerance is next to nothing. And so any little thing can like basically set us off and set us in a tailspin in our nervous systems, so that our nervous system is like haywire all the time. It doesn't, and I think of motherhood in many ways, like many of the women that I know and myself included, it was like the straw that broke the camel's back, you know, with the thing that set the blaze afire. And you're like, you know, even as a mom, sometimes something like small happens and you're like, well, that wasn't even a big deal. Why am I so freaked out about this, you know? that that would be the nervous system, like being in a dysregulated state, you know, because the things that our body perceives as being unsafe or safe, they're real for the nervous system, but they're not always true. They're not always accurate. And so it's important for us to remember that our perception of things is not always truth. That sometimes it's actually off. And it doesn't mean that there's something wrong with us, but that our body is constantly in a process of adapting to our environment in order to get our needs met. And so the way that I approach this work is I am of the belief that there's no behavior that is maladaptive. Like there's no behavior. Like there, it all serves some kind of purpose. And so if we can get to the need that's getting met underneath the behavior, whether it's ourselves or even our children, then we can start to extend deep grace, again, that word grace for ourselves, recognizing that there is an underlying intelligence at play that's trying to get our needs met of safeness, connection. And I'm just going to presence really quick because I know that you'll appreciate this. And when I say safety or safeness, I'm not talking about the way that the overculture has spun it and turned it around and weaponized it against us. I love the quote by Gabor Mate where he says, safety is not the absence of threat or danger, but the presence of connection. And so our bodies are constantly trying to be connected so that we can get our needs met, our safety needs, our physiological needs, but also our belonging needs, our autonomy needs, our self-actualization needs, right? Like all of these things that make up what it means to be a full human being. And so when we can recognize the underlying need that's beneath some behavior or seeming pathology or dysfunction, we can see, I can see like the secondary benefits that I'm getting from doing this thing, whether it's like freaking out and getting in a rage attack, or whether it's like checking out and dissociating or doing the scroll on Instagram, you know, or whether it's like cold shouldering our partners, or it's you know, any number of responses that we might have to our day-to-day lives. It's like, okay, I can identify the need that's getting met through this behavior. So
that's pretty funny.
Dating app messages, right? Like whatever. Like it's meeting some need.
We all do it. Yeah.
What need is getting met? And how can I start to open up the possibility of getting that need met in a different way? Because if I'm gonna say like, okay, this pattern is not something that's in alignment with the person that I want to be or the life that I want to live, so I'm going to say no to that thing. Well, I have to say yes to something else. I have to replace it with some other habit or behavior or you know, pattern. What am I going to say yes to, right? Like, so if we'll use Jesse's example, like obsessively checking dating app messages. Well, the underlying need is human connection there. You know, it's being in, feeling seen, feeling heard, feeling loved, right? So if that's a need that's going unmet for you, how can you learn to meet that in other ways? Sometimes we have to do that in ways that are a little bit uncomfortable. Maybe we have to put ourselves out there. Maybe we have to check, like call in people that we love in our lives and make plans with them more frequently. Maybe we need to like make a concerted effort to like have a big community, you know, experience where we invite people over and have a big dinner, like whatever it might be. Maybe we need to schedule a night of intimacy with our partners, and that hasn't happened in a while, right? Whatever that is, we can start to like create those structures and or those rhythms for ourselves as competent adult women who can get those needs met in the way that we want to. And the way that we design, yeah, the way that's in alignment with the person that we want to be in the most beautiful world we know is possible, to use mm-hmm. Eisenstein's beautiful quote and name of his book. So, yeah,
love that.
For the original question that you had asked me, but, you know, in terms of my program that I create,
yeah,
I could really see a gap, you know, where a lot of women were coming to me and a lot of mothers were reflecting back to me that, like, they were experiencing a lot or are experiencing a lot of nervous system dysregulation and mm-hmm. live in a world, in a society that is anti-life. And you can see this on any number of different levels if you look around at our dominant social order, right? And a part of that is the massive lack of support and acknowledgement of the immensely valuable and important work that a mother does. You know, as yeah. as a young girl and as a young woman, I never even wanted to be a mother. It was so devalued and demeaned, and why would I be a mom? Like, ugh, you know?
Oh, wow.
No wonder I didn't want to be a mother. Like, it's just, it's so sad to me to think of that.
And it's very normalized how,
totally.
How much it sucks. You know what I mean? It's like, that's something that I've always tried to kind of shake up perspectives on anybody that I'm around, or like, you know, bring some appreciation to the table if people are like in complain mode, because it truly is such a gift. And not to be like super cheesy or cliche, but it's like, it's kind of an honor to be, you know, in this role. And I take it very seriously. And anytime I've gotten into those cycles of saying like, oh, it's really sucking or really hard, it actually like just kind of makes it feel harder and worse. And so I really appreciate and, you know, switch up that perspective. It's like, it kind of just sets a different direction and tone.
Absolutely.
But yeah. Absolutely. Can we hear a little more about nurture? We have like 4 minutes.
Yes.
3 minutes, 4 minutes ish. And, want to hear about that.
So Nurture is a 7-week mentorship program, a group mentorship space, where the intention is to build embodied resilience and activate the inner matriarch through a multi-disciplinary sort of approach to nervous system nourishment. And throughout the 7 weeks, I'm going to be offering educational modules in the form of kind of like an audio podcast that mamas can listen to and receive at their leisure. We're going to have a live call every week that rotates the time so that more mamas can drop in if one sort of time slot doesn't work exactly for everyone. And that really is a space to connect, to receive one-on-one support from me, to be a part of the community, to just show up and like co-regulate together. We're also going to have a text message app where we have a chance to drop in together there, share on video, share on audio, have our questions answered, just be seen and be heard in whatever's going on, you know, in our day-to-day lives. And then we have a few guests mentorship calls as well with some really incredible guest mentors. And of course, there's going to be embodiment practices. So each week you get kind of like a guided embodiment practice that's a little bit shorter that you can take and integrate into your day-to-day life or use at your leisure. And these are really simple. They're not like complex. Again, it sometimes feels when you do this work that you're not doing much, but what you're doing is very subtle nervous system level. So you're rewiring and restructuring and renegotiating a lot of the physiological processes that are going on. And you can find out more information about that through Camille. So if you reach out to Camille, she has a link to share with you because she's been so gracious to come on as an affiliate for this program to share so that I can recirculate the wealth back to her and her if someone decides to come through to the program through her. And I'm just really, really excited to see where this journey takes us. I imagine likely offering this like as a non-live component afterwards. So if you can't, it will become kind of like a self-guided experience. And then running it kind of like yearly from here on out. So probably next fall, there will be another round of the live experience.
Awesome. Amazing.
Yay.
Yay. Thank you so much for coming on with me tonight. Sorry about all the, it's getting pretty dark over here. Off-grid life. We've got that thing going.
The dark.
Maine to Mexico, you know, stretching the across. I love that. And this has been so fun. And I feel so nourished by this experience in my own trauma resolution as a mom, as a woman, you know. And so I really appreciate all of the gems and the wisdom that you brought to everyone tonight. And thank you.
Absolutely. I love
you. Love to you all. Yay.
Okay, friends, that is our interview and segment for the day with my good friend Rachel Alaya. Thank you for listening. If you want to find out more about her amazing mentorship program coming right up starting in September, send me a message or you can grab the link through my link tree here in the podcast description. Or send me a message on IG, CamilleRose_offgrid. And you probably will have to type that entire thing out to find me. And you probably can't tag me in anything at the moment. But you can always go follow my backup. That's just at @offgridcamille. Would love to see you over there. And we can find each other, support each other, and support this amazing community of freedom-loving humans across the world. And thank you so much for tuning in today and listening today. And can't wait to hear what you think about this episode.